LifeLock.com.
We're going to cut him off, pal. You know that?
What did he say?
I said we're going to cut him off.
And what exactly do you mean by that crudity, Mr. Kovac?
I mean we're going to shut you down.
I see.
No, you don't see. You don't see nothing. You guys don't hear nothing. You don't feel nothing. Because if you did, we wouldn't be sitting here. You're out of touch. I'll tell you what you're suffering from. Small eyes and fat asses.
Is he speaking for you, Mr. Monahan?
Johnny's our organizer. He knows what the men want.
Well, I think I've heard enough.
No, you haven't heard enough. Now, damn it, if a guy works overtime, why don't you pay him overtime? If he needs insurance, why don't you give him insurance? We don't like to come up here begging. We're not asking for charity. We're not asking you to be generous. We're just asking you to be smart businessmen.
I see. Well, the answer is no, Mr. Kovac. No insurance, no overtime, no pay raises.
Let's go, Mike. See how much money you're going to lose in a strike?
Tuesday afternoon with your hero Mark Biro on WMNF 88.5 Midpoint Talk. That means you and I have a whole year, at least this year, to talk about the issues of the day, things that are on your mind, and really, I guess, what should be on your mind. And we heard in the open the iconic talk given by Sylvester Stallone as he's sort of a Teamsters union leader talking to a corporate head. The actor, by the way, that played the corporate head was a famous B actor in Western movies. I forgot his name now, but he was terrific. And that attitude that was expressed in that clip is essentially what you are getting in Los Angeles today with the amazing teacher's strike. Boy, they couldn't have picked a worse time to have a strike. And by that, I mean the outside weather. It's incredible. As opposed to inside weather. I really, really feel for them because, let's face it, it doesn't rain in Southern California, really. And I know all the skies are gray and all that, but in Southern California, you just don't get the kind of rain like what we get here. And they're having record rainfall rates. And I know that David Vincent had a lot to deal with when he was looking for the invaders. So you can imagine how our president felt when he went to Texas to view the Raiders. I give you a Southern California, listen.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do.
We're getting up to the chorus, listen.
All that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true, sure rang true.
Here it comes.
Seems it never rains in Southern California.
You got the point. It sure doesn't. But boy, did it rain on our teachers. And I don't know if you remember, as I do. I was in the 1968 in the 11th grade at Leto High School. And we had our teacher strike then. Governor Kirk, of course, was the governor of the state of Florida, the first Republican governor and since Reconstruction, I think. And I remember my dad telling me, you're not going to school. Of course, I fought it like maybe I was sleeping, because who's going to fight not going to school? And I stayed out of school for about a week. And then, of course, talks took place, and we were encouraged to go back to school during those talks because everything was being settled. Essentially, that strike was broken. And you can almost understand it. I tell you what, when you're in Florida and you see something like that, it's monumental. It really is. And it also sticks in your mind how difficult it is to get a union in this state. And the teachers were treated very badly during that strike. And I always mention one person who I admire a great deal. Of course, as a student, I didn't. He was our principal at West Tampa Junior High. But I could tell you this. He was looked upon by our parents as being a giant in the industry. And I'm referring to Sam Alfieri. And he was our principal, and he knew how to haul our butts. And that's all we knew about him. But let me tell you, he supported the teacher strike. And that was very harmful to him and his career. Luckily, everyone regarded him as a very credible person and an honorable one. And I never forgot that. I remember my dad going to see him, and I wasn't even junior high, but my dad went to talk to him to give him some encouragement. And when he left, I told my dad, Dad, did he understand anything you had to say? Because my dad talked like that, the German constable and the young Frankenstein. You know, when he finished talking, you didn't understand what he said. And my dad would laugh about it. But these teachers that are out on strike, and Sam Alfieri, I'll never forget him. I know my Uncle Philip respected and admired him. And he was a person who was respected and admired. And let me tell you, my uncle had a tough time making a decision about the strike. But he knew it was the right thing to do. And to this day, if you intone my uncle's name, Phil Rossetti, you get people who will stand up and proudly speak of him. I'm not saying it because he's my uncle, but those are one of the things, one of the qualities that he had and all the teachers had against incredible odds, especially in this state. And I can tell you, when the highlight players went on strike and I was working with them, I knew how difficult it was going to be. Luckily, we have evolved a bit. Today we have confirmation hearings that you've heard right here on WMNF 88.5 on the Attorney General. Very interesting talks. And I was remarking to Sean Canaan in the newsroom, man, he sounds so reasonable. and we spoke about it for a short while, and I said, man, you would never know. He wrote the kind of things that he's written about the independent investigation by Bob Mueller. Thank God they're friends. And I keep thinking about him as Attorney General residing over the union squabble in California. Where do you think he stands? Well, I'm asking you. I mean, you stand, for the most part, with the establishment on that. This is a very anti-union state. And I tell you what, I've never been prouder of the group of teachers that have been steadfast in their march for justice. All of us should be. So I'm going to leave it to you. I made it real quick and succinct. What do you feel about it? How do you feel about the confirmation process? Now, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to those who really don't care about anything. I'm talking to you. You want to join me here on Midpoint Talk? 813-239-9663. That's the number to call if you want to join us here on Midpoint Talk, the Tuesday edition with your hero, Mark Biro. And I'm going to go straight to the phones. I'm not going to elaborate any further. Here is Zebulon. Hello, Zebulon.
How you doing?
All right, man.
Good. I support the teacher strike because teachers are among the most unappreciated and underpaid and undervalued workers in our country. I think we have strapped them with so much bureaucracy and red tape and paperwork and constant testing, that a lot of it's unnecessary, that it has really hamstrung them and their ability to even do their job.
I agree.
They spend a lot of their own income on class supplies because budgets have been completely stripped in a lot of cases. And so I feel like teachers should be paid two or three times what they make, considering how much some of these three-piece suit criminals make on Wall Street. But I wanted to say this about the government shutdown. Trump's wall was a big thing he talked about during the campaign. And I know it's important for his base and everything, but he's been president now for 2 years. Every single month, the wall was not declared a national emergency or any kind of big deal that was worth shutting down the government over. All of a sudden now, the Republicans lose the House of Representatives, and it's enough for him to consider shutting down the government and possibly declaring a state a national emergency. I find that very suspicious that, all of a sudden now that the Republicans don't control the House anymore, that the wall becomes such an urgent matter all of a sudden.
Of course. Of course. And that's exactly, it's a political strategy.
Exactly.
Well,
that's all I had to say, Mark.
Well, that was a handful. Thank you, Zebulon. Yeah. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Yeah, there's no question about it. We spoke about it last week, and I still will talk about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with it. You heard how it was last week. I was very fed up. And I'm in a much better mood and can talk about it calmly. But I have to tell you, I'm very sickened by it, and I'm sickened by our own behavior. Here is Mike in Tampa. Okay, Mike.
Yeah, you said last week that the candidates I vote for can't win. I've been down the other road before. I voted for Clinton the first time, and I also voted for Obama the first time. And now I regret it, and I wish those elections had gone the other way.
Well, okay. I know. Well, you certainly got your wish.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned, our money's all been spent.
Oh. unbelievable. All right, Mikey, thank you. Sam and Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I didn't get you up, did I?
What's that?
I didn't wake you up, did I?
No, not at all. I just want to know, are you proud to be an American just like I am?
Yes, I am very proud.
And I think this country is so divided. I can't believe it, because one thing we need to do is unify as a country and stand by our president. I think until he is proven guilty under the court of law, that we should stand behind him, because he's doing the best thing for our country right now.
Well, let me say this. I stand way behind him. And I think part of being a patriotic American is to dissent when you see things that are wrong. What do you think?
We are trying to convict him until he is proven guilty. President Trump is a great president.
Okay.
All presidents are great. Even Obama, I support President Trump for everything that he is doing for our country. We should be one nation to stand behind him.
It's hard to be a woman.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm just barely.
To just one man.
Our country of greatness. And he is making America great again. I truly believe that.
How is he doing it?
Because he is putting our country first. Country first.
Really?
He is changing the laws to make our country great again. I never felt more proud to be an American until President Trump came along.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way.
USA, USA.
Even though he's hard to understand. After all, he's just a man. Stand by your man. Give him two arms to cling to, and something warm to come to when nights are cold and lonely.
I know that's why I stand by him. I want him to warm and comfort me. What about you? 813-239-9663. Mike in 49er Mike in St. Pete. How are you, Mike?
Mark. How you like? Great. How are you doing, Mark?
All right. Gay. Very gay.
All right. I think, just briefly, I think your previous caller inhabits an entirely imaginary world, but that's for him to work out.
Yes, it is.
I noticed maybe a week and a half ago in the Sunday New York Times, the lead article said that the wall had boxed Trump in.
Yes.
And Peter Baker, one of their star reporters, was one of the co-authors of that column. And what he stated, what had come out, what they had learned, is that the whole business of building the wall started out as a mnemonic device, which was dreamed up by one of his advisors, Sam Nunberg.
Yes, it was.
In order to remind Trump to talk about immigration. That's
sure.
All it was.
Sure it is.
And when he used it at a rally, the crowd went crazy, and it became the centerpiece of his platform, such as it is. And that's all it is. It was just something out of the fertile mind of Sam Nunberg, and now we're stuck with it. And so is Trump. He didn't anticipate losing the House, I don't think, as the point had been made. And now he's got to keep this promise, and he'll do it, I think, at any cost. And I think he realizes if he doesn't keep this promise, he's got no hope in 2020.
Well, you know what I find very interesting, Mike? Some of the people that have been interviewed that have been working without a paycheck, some of them that have been interviewed have claimed that they voted for Trump, that they're Trump supporters. And I'm just wondering, you know, you could see the disgust in their face. It affected them now, you know, and now they're hurting. I feel bad for them.
Well, I think we had maybe had a similar situation in 1980, where the air traffic controllers, I imagine some of them voted for Reagan.
That's exactly right.
And they lost their jobs.
And the difference was there was that Reagan was a politician who promised them that he was going to address all the things that the air traffic controllers went out on strike on. He promised them. And
right.
And I remember interviewing one of them, and the guy told me, man, I was really disappointed. And I go, what made you believe him? You thought him and his party were going to support you? And he goes, well, I figured he was a president of the Actors Guild, you know. So I thought he would do that. I go, man, that's a totally different union. Totally.
Well, then we had Nixon's hard hats, you know.
Yes.
And George Meany, the president.
What a jerk. What a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
What a jerk.
It's an absurdity. Here we have the government closed down over what the New York Times called an applause line.
Yeah.
Build it. Build the wall. And they chant it at his rallies. I mean, it's insane.
It really is. And that's what we are today, Mike. But as you heard the previous caller, without mentioning an incident, he thinks putting America first is tantamount to greatness.
Well, what president hasn't? You know, I mean, these guys are in a fog here.
It's kind of frustrating.
And they never give you a specific, as you point out.
Well, they won't do it.
Well, they don't have one.
They can't get one. They'd have to lie. They'd have to lie like the president to create one.
And as far as the wall is concerned, I think that Nancy Pelosi and Senator Schumer need to hit this harder. They've been the responsible adults in the room so far. They've been soft-spoken. But they really need to call out what a harebrained scheme this wall is.
Yeah, I think you will see more of that, especially in the investigatory procedure on this issue.
Well, we can only hope. As Camus said, there is hope, but not for us.
Thanks, thanks, Mike.
I see that as an irony.
Yes.
But there is hope.
I believe
I
so.
Feel it.
I do too, Mike. I appreciate it. I hope you're feeling better.
I am. Thank you.
We missed you on Sunday, brother.
Well, I'll be back.
Okay. Okay, Mike. Okay. All right. He could say that. He's a Californian. He could do it. You know, I'll be back. Gene in Largo. Hello, Gene.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Real good. How about you?
I'm good, and I'm listening to this show. I want to add my 2 cents here, and it's something that somebody once said, follow the money, all right?
Yeah.
We know Trump needs money. We know Trump works with contractors. We know that contractors give big kickbacks. Now he wants $5 billion to hire his contractors to build his roads. Half that money goes in his pocket when he leaves office, and he walks away from this job a billionaire. And that's the only point.
Sounds like Spiro Agnew.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
I'm looking at all of our listeners out there saying, who is that? You know, our listeners out there are going, who's Spiro Agnew? You know?
Yeah, exactly. But seriously, I really think this whole thing was thought up during his run for presidency because he needed money. I mean, he was being sued. He was being this and that. I mean, he was not in financially good shape at all.
Well, he said he would be releasing his income tax stuff soon. That's his answer. Soon.
Right. Yeah.
It's been 2 years, but soon it's going to happen.
Well, doctors are saying they're going to find a cure for cancer. Soon.
Yes. Yes.
That means within the next 20 years.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with his tax returns. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate
it. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action.
Spiro. Man, I haven't heard his voice in so long. Unbelievable. I remember, by the way, I was watching, I believe, the World Series. The Mets were involved. And there was a bulletin that came over and said he had resigned. By the way, I'm going to bring it in one day, Rob, and show it to you. I actually have the court transcript of all the charges that he pleaded no contest to. He didn't plead guilty, but nolo contendere, right? And I remember that. And man, anyway, that's a good lesson for somebody to review. The Spiro Agnew case. Let's talk to Art in Antioch.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
All right, sir.
Hey, I got 2 points. One is Trump, criminal, carnival backer, bugger, sexual assaulter, and traitor. And my second point, which I think is even more important than the abject, you know, disgrace that Trump is Mitch McConnell being the least patriotic man in the country, starting with Obama and the, blocking his Supreme Court nominee to what he's doing today. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are consistent and have been about, I think Mitch McConnell is one of the worst senators ever. He's terrible. He almost lost the time before last. It was within 2 percentage points. He's up for election, I think, in 2020. I got to check that out. But
right. you talk about, you know, the breaking of norms that Trump is doing. McConnell has broken norms far more important than what Trump's doing, because he's hamstringing the equal branch of government from doing their job.
Yes, I agree. But what can you say? We had a caller already that called and said this president is great. He's making America great.
I listen to him, you know, and I want what he's smoking.
Yeah, because okay.
It's got to be good.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Art. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, man. Thanks for calling. Let's talk to Danny. Danny in Tampa. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Mark. I thought that Trump was already a billionaire. There was a caller 2 weeks ago that said that Trump has $900 billion.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Yeah, but that's interesting, because that would make him the richest man in the world. But Jeff Bezos has $134 billion, and he was considered the richest man in the world, as Trump calls him Jeff Bozo.
Does this come to the Chula meeting? This guy?
He probably does, Bart.
Yeah, he sounds like one of them.
Yeah.
One of our Chula brothers.
Roger Stone and Sam Nunberg, who prompted him to, who advised him to use that wall.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the rascal Roger Stone has to be involved in everything, you know. And, So what about those cheeseburgers and hamburgers last night for the Clemson Tigers, man, that Trump provided?
Maybe if they eat them a lot, they won't be national champions anymore.
Jimmy Kimmel said that, you know there were some leftovers. You know Trump took some of those back into the room with him.
Of course. Of course.
Personal line. I mean, come on.
Hey, I don't blame him for that. I just think he ought to pay for them. He said he did, but I don't know.
They say he did.
Yeah. They say he did, but I don't know.
He used a lot of coupons. You know, yeah. I mean, he gets them, buy one, get one free. Or, you know,
well, why do you think he has so much money?
Of course, of course. You know, Mark, I tell you, did you hear about the guy that, the Republican Palmieri yesterday, who said that this is like, and he was serious. This is a vacation for people.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy from PBS was just sitting there going, just started laughing at him and go, yeah, he's like saying, are you really serious about this? I mean, I'm unreal. You know, look at all the people who are suffering and everything. Just because this guy is throwing a temper tantrum, a baby, can't get the wall. And you heard about that Western that they tracked down. It was called Trackdown in 1958, right?
Yes, on CBS.
Yes, you remember that show?
Oh yeah, I remember it. It was a very bad show.
Yeah,
but
it didn't last long.
But it featured the preacher.
Incredible, right? Where the irony was that the character was called Walter Trump, and he promised to build a fence for these people. And he wanted them to chip in money, and later on, Robert Culp wanted to arrest him for grand theft, and he wanted for fraud. And then the guy told Robert Culp, he says, "I'll sue you."
And the sheriff said, "You're a liar."
Yeah, yeah, and he probably told him, "And this, I'll get you for obstruction of justice." I don't know.
I wonder if that episode is on YouTube yet.
I bet you. You know what, Mark? For people who have computers, which I don't. I'll bet you that that probably is. They say that anything you want to find on YouTube, you can find. So hopefully somebody will go and look that up, you know?
Yeah.
You have a computer, Mark.
I'll check it out when I get home.
Yes, exactly. Mark, let me say that, David Jolly was on Nicole Wallace yesterday and said that Trump's followers think he's going to be on the Mount Rushmore. What he will be the third president in history to be impeached.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. But I tell you what, David Jolly, say what you want about him, but he's been great. he's given up his Republican. He's not a Republican anymore. That's what he says.
Yeah, I know. I heard it. I heard him and Morning Joe Scarborough.
Yes, Morning Joe, Mark. So, so let's see. February 7th, that's when Cohen's going to go ahead and just. And Adam Schiff said yesterday that he wants closed meetings. No. Make that open to the public.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Mark.
All right, brother. Thank you, Danny. Yeah. All right, let's talk to Jack in Dover.
Thanks, Jim.
It's your turn, Jack.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm fine. My boss just called. I'm a driver, so I had to take his call.
Your boss called you? Did you tell him to listen to WMF?
Oh, yeah. I do all the time.
Good.
But, Mr. Vero, I talked to you last week.
Yes, you did.
And you told me to call back and give you the author of the article that I wrote.
Yes, the Washington Post.
Well, that, but I found a better article, you know, today. And it's at WWWTX State. And it's the Department of Anthropology that talks about what I was specifically was trying to make a point about, which was that that the medical examiner's offices seem to be inundated by the number of deaths, that there's so much work down there that they can't do it all. And so I was hoping that maybe if you had time that you could go onto their webpage and take a look at it. And at the bottom, it looks like there's other links and different things that the department is trying to do, I think possibly to raise funds, you know, to help them in their endeavor.
Well, did anything in that article, and I'll look it up, is there anything in the article that says we went across the border to retrieve the bodies?
Honestly, I didn't have time to go into
it
in detail.
And let me just tell you, no, they didn't. And that was for sure. You were alleging that.
Yes, I know. Well, I'm not alleging it. I'm saying that they did come from Mexico, and it was in the previous article that I read, it did say that it was the sheriff's departments of the border states. So if you're saying that they're migrants that have made it into Texas, I can see where that would be different. And I guess that a wall wouldn't stop them from trying to, you know, go on that, you know, that trek across the desert in the first place.
Yes.
My point was simply to try to figure out what can people do? I'm sure that if you called the sheriff's department in Laredo, Texas, you said you've been there, you may even know some of the people there personally, that they would much rather deal with a live person that was trying to become a citizen of the United States than to try to identify a person that died in the desert, whether he was in Texas or whether he was across the border in Mexico.
Yes.
And so that was the point that I was trying to make. And then I do need to apologize for my mistake. I'm the person that made the mistake of saying that Donald Trump was worth, you know, $980 billion. I don't know where my mind was at. I don't know if I was trying to assume that he was going to sell his casino and hotel in Florida and all of his golf courses and come up with, you know, a liquidable asset amount for him. But I do remember him saying that he was worth $980 million when he was running his campaign or something about his tax returns. And I don't know why I said billion instead of million, but I do need to apologize to your listeners, at least your listeners that have new batteries in their AM, in their radios.
Well, you know, what's really something is that all of this could be answered if Trump would do what every other person did, and that is release his income taxes. Would you agree?
That would help. Yeah. That would help tremendously.
I won't follow anybody blindly. I want to see it. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever. I want to see their independent tax returns.
Well, they're saying that more people that make less than $20,000 are more likely to be audited by the IRS than somebody like Donald Trump, who makes
billions. Well, I don't know that that's true. I don't know if that's true. I know I was audited, and and I didn't make under $20,000, but it was a fair audit.
Well, that's good. Yeah, most of the time they just want you to give supporting documents. If you have a Schedule D or a Schedule A, you know, how you itemized your deductions, if you just send that in, that's all they're really looking for. They're not asking for receipts. And if they do start asking for individual receipts at the gas pump, then that's a good time for you to, you know, to get some professional assistance, you know, from an accountant or someone.
Jack, are you referred to as Hugh?
Yes. Oh,
okay. All right. I thought so. All right, Jack, I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And Mark, you're still my hero, okay?
I bet I am.
All right,
man.
Thank you.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, let's get to Tim in Leesburg. Hello, Tim.
Well, Mark, hi. It's been a long time since I've heard you. I listened to you on 970. I remember back a long time ago.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
And it's good to hear you're back on the radio again.
Thank you. I've been here for 3 years.
That's wonderful. Well, WMNF has just started. You must have increased your power or gotten a taller tower or something, because your actual FM radio signal is coming in now here in the Leesburg, Florida area.
Yeah, and we have a stronger signal.
You do?
Yeah, great. We have a stronger transmitter.
It's working. It's working because
thanks to all of our listeners.
24 hours a day.
Yep. Thanks to our listeners.
What I'd like to say is, you know, one of the things that has bothered me ever since the campaign is that, you know, when President Bunker came up with this idea, Archie Bunker is our president, by the way.
Yeah.
When President Bunker came up with the idea of Make America Great Again.
Yeah.
You know, that really made me bristle, because I'm saying, when was America not great?
That's correct.
America has always been great. So it's, you know, it's just a stupid thing to say, make America great again. No, America is great, always has been great, and always will be great.
Well, it's a dark assessment of our country to take that opinion, in my opinion.
If President Bunker does get the wall built, we will no longer be citizens of the United States of America. We will be citizens of the United Inmates of America. And that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
That was a very good point. Okay, thank you so much, Tim. And glad to see you're smiling. You're listening to WMNF 88.5. Midpoint Talk is the name of the show. And I'm your host, your hero, Mark Biro. I almost forgot my name there. Let's talk to Jeff in Lakeland. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing? I want to talk about the Trump drama. And, you know, he used drama to, like, promote his reality show.
Yeah.
And he used drama. He's using drama to fuel the presidency, and he's using drama to stoke fear, and he's using communicate lies and, you know, misinformation about the border. And I just, you know, I just wonder if these people that aren't getting paychecks are tired of his drama yet.
Well, I don't think so. It's still a close election, they say, in 2020.
Yeah, it's just it's constant just stirring stuff up, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, let's see if people get tired of it, brother.
I'm telling you, I hope they do.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the call very much. Thank you, and thank you very much for calling. Let's talk to Brandon in Tampa.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
All right, man.
Hey, so I did vote for Trump last election.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Trump has done some good things that have made me really consider him again in 2020, obviously depending on who he's running against.
But like what?
Well, I think the Supreme Court, that was a huge issue for me, getting Scalia-type justices on there as much as possible. That was critical for me.
How does that kind of justice help you?
Well, I am a constitutionalist, so I don't like the way Justice Breyer and Ginsburg, how they interpret the Constitution, in my opinion, is wrong. I think that undermines the Constitution and the freedoms of us as individuals. For example, when justices kind of go with the wind with the Constitution, that's how people get thrown into internment camps. So I think standing strong with the Constitution, especially if you support Scalia, you always, states like California, if they want health care, they can still do health care in California. But I don't want California or the federal government shoving down, you know, legislation through the bench that I necessarily don't agree with here in Florida.
So what kind of job do you do, Brandon? You don't have to tell me where you work. What do you do?
I'm an engineer.
An engineer?
Yep.
Okay.
So I design roads.
Okay.
But, you know, and so that's why I think Scalia, I know a lot of progressives and liberals didn't like Scalia, but at least Scalia gave them an option, that is to the 10th Amendment, or they could amend the Constitution. When Justice Breyer go ahead, when he makes rulings, it's kind of, he throws the hammer down, and if I don't agree with him, I have nowhere to go. I'm, you know, I can't move to a different state because it's a federal, you know, federal ruling. So in addition to that, I was happy. Probably the best thing that I liked was the mandate, getting rid of that. That saved my family $2,500 a year. And he.
What mandate are you talking about?
The healthcare mandate.
It saved you $2,500 a year.
Yes, sir. Because here's what happened.
You're a very successful engineer.
No, I'm not. So listen. So I actually qualified for subsidy based on my salary. But if your employer offers you insurance, even though he doesn't pay for it, you no longer qualify for those subsidies. So I was stuck paying a high premium, healthcare plan, and even though I qualified for the subsidies through my salary, based on my salary, because my employer offered insurance, I no longer qualified. So I was stuck paying this huge premium when I didn't want to. I wanted a catastrophic plan for my family because we're all healthy and we live paycheck to paycheck. So I want, and healthcare was.
That's what's amazing to me to hear you. You claim you're dependent on a paycheck to paycheck basis, and it seems to me you're voting against your own interest.
How's that?
I just don't see it. What you're saying makes no sense.
What did I say? It doesn't make sense.
Well, what you've been saying over the last 5 minutes the $2,500 subsidy, I just wonder where you work.
No. The $2,500 savings was...
Savings, okay.
Now I can go ahead and get a cheaper plan and not be penalized by the IRS.
Have you got it?
Have I got what?
Have you got the cheaper plan?
Yes, I have.
You did. And it's yeah. and it takes care of your family.
Yeah, because as of right now, boy.
Do me a favor. Send it to me here. Send me the insurance company and the plan so I can evaluate it.
I got it right now. I got it right here.
Well, you don't have to say it over the air.
Hold on.
I'll hold for you.
Okay. Well, the company's Cigna.
Cigna, okay.
Yep. And, well, I only have my ID and group number.
I get it.
Yeah.
Very good, huh? How do you think? So I waited for that, right?
Yeah.
All right, Brandon. You send me everything else. You don't have to send me your plan or anything specific. You send it to me in the mail, and I'll refer to it. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right, brother. That's fair.
Yep.
All right. I'm glad he agreed to that because I think it's the only way we can fairly assess, you know, what he's talking about. Hello, Kevin and Bradenton.
Hey, Mark. Oh, boy, I want to go in a completely different direction here. I'm not going to get started on the health care situation. I think he would have benefited, as we all would, from a single-payer national health
care. Of course he would have.
Yeah, that's a whole nother argument, just like the fact that he's living paycheck to paycheck and yet votes Republican.
I don't get it either. I don't get it.
Here's the one thing. I only called about this one reason. You know, we keep hearing about the crisis at the border. And, you know, I mean, for my money, there is a crisis there. I agree with Trump for a change. There's a crisis. But it's not that we don't have a wall. The crisis is how we're dealing with people that are legitimately coming to our country to try to gain asylum. And I just don't know what people don't understand about the legality of that. And since we're handling that in a way that kind of resembles an authoritarian dictatorship, more or less, you know, understaffing everything, keeping these people waiting in tents, separating children. That's my idea of what a crisis is, not what Donald Trump is saying, that there's a crisis because we don't have a wall. What do you think?
Well, everybody knows there's no crisis. Here they come. Watch out! Watch out!
The invaders.
I wanted to hear David Vincent. But that's okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Kevin. Appreciate it.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
You got to play the He's Alive clip from the Twilight Zone one time to try to tie together why Trump is so successful at delivering his messages. Thank you very much.
He's Alive with Dennis Hopper?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, you know I remember.
I mean.
Yes.
And tie that to why this guy's message is so easily understood and embraced by so many people, because that's the real key to why he is successful.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Yeah, that episode of Twilight Zone is an hour-long one.
And you, what are you? You direct traffic from the darkness. You plan the battles, and you're never there when they're fought. Why don't you come out in the light? Why don't you come up here alongside of me? Why don't you give me a name and a face and a reason why?
Mr. Fulmer, I was making speeches before you could read them. I was fighting battles when your only struggle was to climb out of a womb. I was taking over the world when your universe was a crib. And as for being in darkness, Mr. Fulmer, I invented darkness.
Now you get the idea from the drum roll that was Hitler. I mean, and that was quite an episode, a one-hour episode of The Twilight Zone. Here is Bert in Clearwater. Hello, Bert.
Hey, I just want to say one thing, that the Clemson team
they actually have a chef that prepares their meals. So go figure how Donald would know that. He could have Ubered better food than have McDonald's. Maybe besides working for Russia, he also works for McDonald's. But thanks for your show, and you do a good job, and people just stop drinking the Kool-Aid that Trump is providing.
And eat the burgers. And eat the burgers.
Yeah, don't eat the burgers. Yeah, don't do that. But, yeah. And again, Mark, great job. And I don't understand why people in our government deal with this. So we all need to step up and take our democracy back. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Bert. Okay, we've heard from Bert. That's a definitive statement that can be made on this program. Did you notice I mentioned the teacher strike and not one caller addressed the issue? I didn't want to push it. I didn't want to be obvious. But isn't it something how these are people that have unionized to help themselves, and we have been in sort of indoctrinated to support those in power with the riches, the J.R. Ewings. We used to laugh at those kind of people, but now we admire them. Mr. Drysdale of the bank on Beverly Hills, Henry Chadsworth III, Adobe Gillis. We used to laugh at their greed and their wealth. Nobody called about the teachers and their strike. I'm very sad about that. I don't mind telling you. Very sad. You might want to think about it, folks. We may have a better understanding of where we are with our education in the way we treat our teachers. And by the way, when we had the earlier caller about what we can do for the people that cross the border, Amy Goodman, I saw it today on Democracy Now! I saw it online. And there's a group that leaves food, water, in the desert, and it shows the border patrols going by and emptying out the water and the food. How sad. That's not what I thought this country was about, and the things that I take pride in my country about. Well, that wraps up another show. Gene Simpson has been our phone producer, always great, always spectacular, and always on time. Rob Lori is a producer of this show, and many of the drops you heard on this show, he reads my mind. I thank him for it. Super Nola will be here tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Midpoint. I hope you'll join him. And right after the news, John Gilmore is sitting in. He's cocking and getting ready with his information gun to have you exposed to it, and so you can pick up on it. Executive session with John Gilmore coming right up. And until next week, this is Mark Biro saying, I'm on my way. You're so pusillanimous, so I'll play the fool, but as a rule, I'd rather act mine.
Mark Bureau returns next Tuesday at noon. This is WMNF Tampa.